Harry willed Hermione to keep her head. If this was true and Bellatrix was not supposed to be out in public,
"The Dark Lord forgives those who have served him most faithfully in the past," said Hermione, in a magnificent imitation of Bellatrix's most contemptuous manner. "Perhaps your credit is not as good with him as mine is, Travis."
Though the Death Eater looked offended, he also seemed less suspicious. He glanced down at the man Ron had just stunned.
"How did it offend you?"
"It does not matter. It will not do so again," said Hermione coolly.
"Some of these wandlers can be troublesome," said Travis. "While they do nothing but beg, I have no objection. But one of them actually asked me to plead her case at the ministry last week."
"I'm a witch, sir! I'm a witch! Let me prove it to you,"
he said in a squeaky impersonation.
"As if I was going to give her my wand. But whose wand," said Travis curiously, "are you using at the moment, Bellatrix? I heard that your own was..."
"I have my wand here," said Hermione coldly, holding up Bellatrix's wand. "I don't know what rumors you have been listening to, Travis, but you seem sadly misinformed."
Travis seemed a little taken aback at that, and he turned instead to Ron.
"Who is your friend? I do not recognize him."
"This is Dragomir Despard," said Hermione.
They had decided that a fictional foreigner was the safest cover for Ron to assume.
"He speaks very little English, but he is in sympathy with the Dark Lord's aims. He has travelled here from Transylvania to see our new regime."
"Indeed. How do you do, Dragomir?"
"How are you?"
said Ron, holding out his hand. Travis extended two fingers and shook Ron's hand as though frightened of dirtying himself.
"So, what brings you and your, sympathetic friend to Diagon Alley this early?" asked Travis.
"I need to visit Gringotts," said Hermione.
"Alas, I also," said Travis. "Gold, filthy gold. We cannot live without it, yet I confess I deplore the necessity of consorting with our long-fingered friends."
Harry felt Griphook's clasped hands tighten momentarily around his neck.
"Shall we?"
said Travis, gesturing Hermione forward. Hermione had no choice but to fall into step beside him and head along the crooked cobbled street toward the place where the snowy white Gringotts stood towering over the other little shops. Ron sloped along beside them, and Harry and Griphook followed. A watchful Death Eater was the very last thing they needed, and the worst of it was, with Travers marching at what he believed to be Bellatrix's side, there was no means for Harry to communicate with Hermione or Ron. All too soon they arrived at the foot of the marble steps leading up to the great bronze doors. As Griphook had already warned them, the liveried goblins, who usually flanked the entrance, had been replaced by two wizards, both of whom were clutching long, thin, golden rods.
"Ah, probity probes," sighed Travers theatrically. "So crude, but effective."
And he set off up the steps, nodding left and right to the wizards, who raised the golden rods and passed them up and down his body. The probes, Harry knew, detected spells of concealment and hidden magical objects. Knowing that he had only seconds, Harry pointed Draco's wand at each of the guards in turn and murmured, "Confundo," twice. Unnoticed by Travers, who was looking through the bronze doors at the inner hall, each of the guards gave a little start as the spells hit them. Hermione's long black hair rippled behind her as she climbed the steps.
"One moment, madam,"
said the guard, raising his probe.